Hello, and welcome to a Walk Through the Word of the Lord series. My name is Jordan, and together throughout this series, we're going to be exploring the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Join us in the first few lessons as we talk about what makes the Bible unique and how we know there is a creator. From then on out, we're going to be examining the periods of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is split into four categories: the law, the history, the poetry, and the prophets. We'll be exploring each of these. Then we will get into the New Testament. We ask that if you have any questions, you would email us at BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. That's BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please leave a comment and like us, so that we can get this out to as many people as possible. We are so glad that you have joined us. May God bless you richly. Hello and welcome to a Walk Through the Word of the Lord. This is lesson number 10. Before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, we ask for your anointing and your grace and revelation today. Speak to us through your word. Give us ears to hear what you would say. Bind every distraction, Lord. Help us to focus upon your word. Lead us to that portion of the word that would be of great benefit to us. God, I need your anointing, and anoint the ears of every hearer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so once again, I'm not going to do a lot of review, but I'm only going to talk primarily about what we learned in the last lesson. So in the last lesson, God speaks to one man whose name is Abram, which means exalted father, and he had said unto him, get out of your country, from your father's house, from your kindred, into a land that I will show thee. And so the first characteristic of why God chose this man, Abram, was he was a man of faith. He believed God. When God told him to do something, he did it. He believed that God was going to provide. In fact, one scripture says, Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So the Bible then tells us that he built an altar. We mentioned number two, he was a man of prayer. Then he went to Bethel, which means house of God. He was a man that went to church. Finally, we ended with talking about how that he went and rescued his nephew Lot, who was taken captive in a battle that took place. And when he came back from the battle, there was a man there by the name of Melchizedek, who was called the King of Righteousness in the New Testament, also the King of Peace, which was a beautiful type of Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness, and he is the Prince of Peace, according to Isaiah 9 and 6. But the Bible says that Abram gave him tithes of all. He was a giver. So that's where we left off. Now I'm going to pick up exactly where we left off in Genesis chapter number 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, something interesting is, remember, God has now given him two signs, two things to look at to remember the promises of God. Number one, he gave him the dust of the earth. He said, if you can count the dust of the earth, so shall thy seed be. Now he tells him, look at the heavens and count the stars if you can, so shall thy seed be. So whether it was day or whether it was night, Abram had a constant reminder in front of him of the promises of God. But something even more beautiful than that is that whether some days Abram felt like looking down, maybe he was a little bit discouraged, maybe he's wondering if the promises of God are ever going to come to pass. Well, he's looking down. Well, he's got the dirt to look at. He's got the dust of the earth, to look at. And then on a night where maybe he feels a little bit better about things, he's got the stars to look at. So whether he was looking up or looking down, whether it was day or night, Abram had something to remember the promises of God. And verse 6 says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Let's keep our finger there. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 4. So the book of Romans chapter number 4, And we're going to read verse number 3. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 4, verse number 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. This is mentioned in the New Testament. And something that's interesting about this is that, remember, I told you he's a man of faith. God says it, and Abraham believes it. But that does not mean that Abraham never had a doubt. We're going to read that a little bit later. But I want you to notice what happens next. So let's go back to Genesis 15, verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? See, even though Abram was a man of faith, that didn't mean he didn't have questions. There were times he had doubts. There were times he had questions. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst, and laid each one against another, but the birds divided he not. So what we're seeing here is a practice in those days of a process called dividing the halves. Basically, where two individuals are making covenants and they're having the carcasses, one on one side, one on the other, basically one representing one side, one representing the other. And that's a whole lot of stuff there to talk about, but I'm not going to go into all that. Verse number 11. So remember, he's making a covenant with God. A covenant is an agreement between two parties. One of the original origins of the word literally meant a cutting, to where, like, have you ever heard of like a blood covenant? Well, it's saying, hey man, we're blood brothers. And two people would cut themselves and they would put the cuts on their arms together, and their blood would be mixed. They're making a blood covenant. Well, God is making an agreement with Abram, and so half is for Abram, half is for God. But really, in reality, all of this sacrifice is for God. But here they're making this agreement, and it's called the dividing of the halves. And then I want to show you what happens next. Verse 11, and when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. So he makes this sacrifice for God, and animals or birds of the air started trying to come down and devour his sacrifice, and he drove them away. Can I say that anytime you try to do something for God, the enemy is going to try to come in and he's going to try to destroy your sacrifice. But you've got to drive the enemy away. Don't allow him to destroy your sacrifice. All right, verse 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. So, see, look, God is giving him a picture. Not only has God given him a covenant promise and told him he's going to have children that cannot be numbered, that they're going to be so great, but God is down the road showing him that there's going to come great affliction upon his people. So God is warning him of things to come. And can I tell you this? If you're a man of faith, if you're a man or woman, of course, of faith, and a man or woman that prays, a man or woman that attends church, a man or woman that gives to God, this will please God greatly. And there are times God will bless you, and there are times God will show you things to come. He'll warn you of something that might happen down the road if you'll allow him to do so. So verse number 13, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So this is something that's interesting. Remember, in a previous lesson, we talked about the Tower of Babel. You remember that? And how that, so the children of Ham were cursed. They were called the Canaanites. Well, Noah had told Shem that his descendants would dwell in tents, but God would dwell in their tents. Okay? So Abraham is a descendant of Shem. So remember, God is dwelling in Shem's tents. But then Canaan, he said, a servant of servants shall he be. And that he's going to serve the children of Shem. All right, that's exactly what happens here. So this is a prophecy about something to come. says, but the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So in other words, God didn't just judge them immediately. He gave them a space to repent, a space of time. And he said, but when the iniquity of the Amorites is full, watch this, verse 17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between the pieces. So what does this mean? This burning lamp represents God passing between the pieces. And so one thing you have to know is that when this covenant was made, the maker of the covenant would walk between the halves. And what he's saying is, I will die before I break my covenant with you. So what God is doing, God who cannot die, was passing between the halves, and he's making this covenant with Abraham, or Abram at the time, telling him, hey, look, I will die before I break my covenant with you. It's very powerful. But then it says this, in the same day, verse 18, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kidmonites, or the Cadmonites, excuse me, and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. So God makes this powerful covenant with Abram. So when we stop at chapter 15, and let's just stop there and think about the place that Abram's in. Wow, God has just made this amazing promise to him. God not only showed him that he's going to have a lot of children, that he's not going to be able to number them, just like he can't number the stars, just like he can't number the grains of sand, so he will not be able to number his descendants. And then God gives him this powerful demonstration and this vision and speaks to him. And how many of us would love for God to speak to us that way? So here's this man that is a man of righteousness. But watch, when chapter 16 begins, you're going to be surprised about what happens. Now, let me say this. We often read the book of Genesis and throughout the Bible, especially here though, and we think that only a number of days separated these events. No, no, no. There were years, sometimes decades, that separated these events. So chapter number 16, watch what happens. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. So a number of years has gone by. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid. Now, wait, where did this handmaid come from? Remember when Abram went into Egypt, what God had told him not to do? What happened there? Well, he went in, and because he told a lie, he was blessed by Pharaoh, but that blessing turned into a cursing, because one of the things he got from that lie was handmaids. Well, where did Hagar come from? From a lie. Now this has set him up to where he's about to make a very egregious mistake that all goes back to that moment that he told a lie. Can I tell you that things you might count insignificant, you might say, oh, it's just a little white lie, oh, it's just a little sin, it'll come back to haunt you one day. All right, it says, now Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. All right. And what it says is, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now, something that's interesting is the children of Hagar, obviously she's going to have a child, and that child's name is going to be Ishmael. We're going to read that here in just a little bit. But one thing that's interesting to note is, you know who the descendants of Ishmael are? Okay. That is the Muslims today. The Muslims claim to be descendants of Ishmael. All right, now watch, verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her face. So here's something I want you to think about just for a moment, okay? Abram has this awesome promise of God. And so Abram is sitting here trying to reason in his mind. A number of years have gone by, and he's trying to reason, all right, how is this promise going to come about? Well, Sarai is not having any children, and she says, hey, look, just take my handmaid. Now, why did he do that? Maybe Abram sat back and he thought, you know what, maybe this is God's way. You know, we have this handmaid, it's pretty convenient. Maybe this is God's way. Let's just do it this way. But that wasn't how God said to do it, okay? That wasn't what God told them to do. And so notice what happens. But Abram said unto Sarai, verse 6, behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, or harshly, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself into her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Boy, isn't this a prophecy? Look at what happens here today. All of the wars in the Middle East, and you know the fact of all of the people that the Muslim nations are at war with, the Bible says he'll be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. That's exactly what we're seeing today. Verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beher Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Berid. So what that means is, Beher Lahairoi means the well of him that liveth and seeth me. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Verse 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So we're seeing numbers of years are passing here. So now what we're going to see is in chapter number 17. And I believe it is 16 years that it passed and God didn't speak to him. You think Abram realized he had made a mistake? He went for 16 years without God saying a word to him. Chapter 17 and verse number 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, wow, 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, which means El Shaddai. That's what it is in the Hebrew, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. You know what? Abram had made a very severe mistake in what he did in the previous chapter in having a child by Hagar. Because Ishmael and what's going to come, the child Isaac, are going to constantly be at war with each other. They're still at war with each other. We're testifying of that today. There's a war going on in the Middle East between the Muslims and the children of Israel, the Jews. There's still a war going on today. And they've been at war and at conflict constantly. So this is a prophecy that's about in the scripture. He's a wild man fighting constantly against every man. But all of this war goes back to a mistake that Abram had made. This is a very serious, egregious error that he had made when he took things into his own hands. You know, he thought, well, the promise of God, maybe this is how it's going to happen. And Sarah thought, maybe this is how it's going to happen. But God didn't tell him to do that. And so people are still paying the price today because of that. So here's what it says. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, which means, or high father. But thy name shall be called Abraham. And that means father of many nations, by the way. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Verse 6 of chapter 17 of Genesis. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Watch, verse 10. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Watch. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in your house. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in your house or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Wow, that is a very, very serious commandment that comes from God. Now, why circumcision? Why circumcision? All right. There's several things I want to point out about the covenant of circumcision. All right. So in circumcision, not to get graphic, but what happens in circumcision is that the flesh of the foreskin is cut off. It is a very private thing. But the flesh of the foreskin is cut off. Okay. It's a very bloody thing. It was usually done with knives, sometimes with flint knives, I believe. Sometimes they use sharp stones. Ouch. That was a very painful process. It took days to recover. You can read about that later in the book of Genesis with what happened with Simeon and Levi and Shechem. But maybe we'll get into that later. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But the Lord willing. But so here's something that's interesting. So what happened is it was a private matter, and it's something that God would know. God would know if a human being was circumcised or not circumcised. From this point forward, the way that a Jew oftentimes would criticize his opponents is he would say, you uncircumcised person. In other words, what did David say to the Philistine, David and Goliath? He said, you uncircumcised Philistine. See, this was meaning you're not in covenant with our God. Because remember, it all ties back to the covenant that God had made with Abram in the initial time that God made the promise to him in Genesis chapter number 12. He said, I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, the sign, remember, okay, let's go back here. So with each covenant, there's been a sign that shows that covenant is in place. So if we go back to Noah, we look, what's the sign of the covenant? The rainbow in the sky. Now, what's the sign with Abram? Well, there is the circumcision of the flesh. So if that is the case in the Old Testament, you might say, do we need to be baptized? Or excuse me, do we need to be circumcised? Well, let's find out. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter number 2. And I want to read this verse of scripture here. Colossians chapter number 2. So it comes after the book of 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then there is the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 2. And I want to read, let's start with verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom, so it's talking about Jesus, in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision, watch, made without hands. So we're no longer circumcised by hands. It says made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So no longer is it the cutting off of the physical foreskin, but now it's the cutting off of the body of sins. Now, how is this accomplished? How does this happen? Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now, you remember in a previous lesson, I talked about the ark is a type of baptism. And on the ark, they were safe. They floated on the waters, but under the waters, sin was drowned. All right. And so It's the same thing with baptism. You go under that water, your sins are drowned. You come out a new creature in Christ Jesus. All right? Now we read about circumcision. The circumcision was the sign of the covenant that the children of Abraham and Abraham himself were in covenant with God, and it was the cutting off of the physical foreskin. Now we read and see that baptism is the New Testament circumcision, and it is the drowning or the cutting off of the body of the sin in our life. Does that mean that after you're baptized, you'll never sin again? No, that's not what that means. It doesn't mean your sin desire will be taken away, but it means all of your sins, past, present, and future, are wiped away in the precious blood of Jesus. Remember, I mentioned in Acts 2:38, you're baptized for the remission of sins, for the removing of those sins. All right, let's go back. We'll teach much more about this in a future lesson. So let's go back, and we're going to skip now to verse number 23 of Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse 23. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old. Now, excuse me, earlier I said it was 16 years that had gone by. Actually, it was 13. My apologies. I remembered incorrectly. But it was 13 years that had gone by. And so what it says here is that Ishmael was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and the same day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in his house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Remember how I said that Abram, or Abraham now, as his name is now called, was a man that obeyed God. When God spoke, he did it. Well, God spoke to him and said, you better be circumcised, and everybody in your house, hey, look, he did it the same day. That's how serious he took it. Now, there's one other thing I want you to notice. Circumcision from this day forward and according to the law was something where when the child was 8 days old, he was circumcised. And when he was 8 days old, when he was circumcised, it coincided with him receiving his name. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. Let's go to the book of Leviticus. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. So I want you to go over with me. Leviticus. Chapter number 12 and verse 3. Leviticus chapter 12 and verse number 3. And this is what it says. And the eighth day, or in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So this tells us that on the eighth day, a child was circumcised. Okay? Now, what do you say? What about giving of the name? Luke chapter 1. So let's go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 59. Luke chapter 1. And verse number 59, Luke 1 and 59 says this, and it came to pass, this is telling the story about the birth of John the Baptist, and it came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father, and his mother answered and said, not so, but his name shall be called John. All right, so the child received his name when he was circumcised. So also there's other scriptures that prove this point. When Jesus was circumcised, the same thing happened to him. Let me see if I can find this very, very quickly. So the Bible talks about he was circumcised. Let's go to, here we go. It's Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So on the eighth day, not only were they circumcised, but they also received their name on that day. Well, what does this have to do with baptism? All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 and verse number 27. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27. Give me some time to find it here myself. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27. And this is what it says. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. All right. Now flip back with me to the book of Romans. Now remember, if you've been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. Well, the reverse is also true. If you have not been baptized into Christ, you have not put on Christ. But let's read Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know what this tells us? When you're baptized in Jesus' name, baptized into Christ, and according to Acts 2:30, baptized in Jesus' name, when you're baptized in Jesus' name, that old body of sin is cut off. You're buried. Your old life is buried. When I was baptized, I was no longer known as Jordan in the eyes of God. I took on the name Jesus. Well, it's the same thing in the Old Testament. When they were circumcised, when they were 8 days old, they received their name. Well, it's the same thing. When you're baptized in Jesus' name, that's the circumcision in the New Testament covenant. It puts you in covenant with him. It cuts off the body of sin out of your life, and you receive your name. You now are known, not just as, now I'm not known anymore as Jordan, but in the eyes of God, I'm known as of the family line of Jesus. I've now been adopted into his family line. All right, now we're going to go back to Genesis, and we're going to end our lesson here today. Genesis chapter number 17 and verse number 24. I just want to remind you that Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. So we have 13 years. Now at this point, Abram is probably settled into the fact that that Ishmael is the promised child. You know, well, I know God didn't tell us to do it this way, but you know what? We'll go ahead and settle for this. I'm sure God is going to go ahead and bless Ishmael. And we're going to find out later, he started to think that Ishmael was the promised child. So you got to think, he's telling Ishmael, 13 years now he's been telling him, hey, look, you're the promised child. You're going to be in covenant with God. And now Ishmael is taken and circumcised. And so he's telling him, hey, look, you're going to be the promised child. You're going to be the promised child. But this is going to come into conflict when God really fulfills the promise. So I think this is a good place to stop. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to study the Word of God. God, I'm asking that you would speak to every heart and soul under the sound of my voice. If there's anybody under the sound of my voice that has not yet repented of their sins and been baptized in Jesus' name, Lord, your Word tells us they're not in covenant. And I pray in Jesus' name that they would be baptized in your precious, lovely name. Draw them unto you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you richly. Thank you so much for listening to A Walk Through the Word of the Lord. We hope that you will continue to listen as we go throughout the series. If you have any questions, please email us at BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. Once again, that is BibleTT. Abernacle29@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.